Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All three of our readings today focus on the Good Shepherd. It is very fitting that the church has chosen to observe Good Shepherd Sunday during the Easter season. For the risen Lord is our Good Shepherd. He sits at the right hand of the Father, where he continues to lovingly shepherd us as his people. Our Old Testament lessons from both last Sunday and this Sunday are both recorded in the book of Ezekiel. Last Sunday in Ezekiel 37, three chapters after this Sunday's reading, we heard about the bones, the valley of dry bones, that those bones were very dry. But Ezekiel, under the command of God, prophesied that these bones would gain flesh, and they did. Flesh and skin covered the bones that were once very dry, but there was no breath in them. So, under the command of God, Ezekiel prophesied, saying, "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." And the bones rose, a great and mighty army. That is one of the Old Testament teachings concerning the doctrine of the resurrection. You might recall also Elijah having raised the widow's son from the dead through the work of God. And despite the prophecies of the resurrection, despite people even being raised in the Old Testament from the dead, did you know that there were some Jewish leaders by the time of Christ, known as the Sadducees, who denied the resurrection of the dead? But we hear it so plainly in that reading last week from Ezekiel. In that reading, we also heard of how this breath came upon upon these bones. Breathing was an important concept for these bones to come to life. And here's why. In the Hebrew language, the same word for wind and breath and spirit is the same Hebrew word. So the wind came bringing breath to the bodies which had been dry bones by the working of the Holy Spirit. And then the day that Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared before his disciples behind locked doors, as you also heard last week, with Thomas not being present. And Jesus, he said, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed on his disciples, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So Jesus breathed on them to give them the Spirit. Remember, again in Hebrew, wind, breath, and spirit are all the same Hebrew word. Now the disciples received the Holy Spirit to perform the task of Christ's under shepherds. So Jesus breathed on them, gave them the Holy Spirit, that they may do the work of Christ who shepherds his sheep. And he has chosen to shepherd his sheep through those whom he has sent. So they, having been breathed on and received the Spirit, the disciples, they remained under the authority of Christ, and their task was to do the work of Christ. They were commissioned by the Good Shepherd to feed God's lambs, as Jesus had said upon his resurrection, so that God's people would be shepherded. And Jesus explained to them how they would shepherd God's people by forgiving the sins of some and withholding sin, that is, withholding forgiveness from other sinners. Now, their work of forgiving and retaining sins was not some sort of arbitrary job. So The disciples weren't allowed to say, well, that person gave me extra money, so I'll forgive him, and that person didn't give me much, so I won't forgive him. Or they couldn't say, that person's pretty nice and looks good, so I'll forgive him, and that person not so much, so I won't forgive that person. It's not how it works. Nor could they flip a head and say, or flip a coin and say, heads, you're forgiven, or tails, you're not forgiven. Instead, they were to do this in accordance with the command of Christ and by his authority. So forgiveness was not limited to, say, the nicer, richer, or the better, but the standard they were to use was the standard taught by Christ the Good Shepherd. So just as Jesus taught the law to drive sinners to repentance so that they would be drawn in to Christ, repenting of their sins and receiving the forgiveness of sins, so also pastors do the same. But if a person who's taught the law is not driven to repentance and refuses to repent of his sin, then the pastor, in the same pattern as Christ, cannot forgive that person of his sin. So forgiveness is granted to the penitent, and the forgiveness is withheld from the impenitent. How long is that with that forgiveness withheld? It is withheld as long as the impenitent remains in unbelief or in impenitence. Once he repents, believes in Christ, he is granted that forgiveness. That's the authority that God has given to his Son, and his Son has given to Christ's under-shepherds through pastors. And when this is being done faithfully, then the work of Christ, the Good Shepherd, is being done. But sadly, this is not always done among those who claim to be ministers. Jesus, in our gospel, spoke of, it used the word hired hand. I wish they would have used the word hireling. Hired hand is normally a good term about someone who works by your side, but hireling has those more negative connotations. And so Jesus speaks about the hireling who does not own the sheep and does not care about the sheep. This type of hireling does not stick with the sheep when he sees the wolf coming. He sees the wolf and he flees, and the wolf then snatches up the sheep and scatters the sheep. But Jesus will never do that. And a faithful under-shepherd of Christ is not to do that either. True ministers will preach in season and out of season. They will warn, they will reprove, they will rebuke, and they will correct. They will bring the comfort of the gospel to hurting souls. They will shepherd God's people by being there for them, keeping watch over them through prayer, and feeding God's people the word and the sacrament. In our reading this week from Ezekiel, we heard that as the shepherd, God will gather his sheep together and he will feed them. That's what it means to be the church. So many talk about being a Christian, but they have no interest in the church itself. But if they're a Christian, they're going to be shepherded by a shepherd and they're going to be drawn together. There's no such thing as individualistic Marlboro Man type of Christianity. Consider these words from Martin Luther in our Lutheran Confessions. Thank God, a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, namely holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. So children pray, I believe in one holy Christian church. And its holiness consists in the word of God and true faith. This, my friends, is such a beautiful thing. Hearing the voice of God, believing his word, and he grants us salvation as a completely free gift out of God's grace. But earlier in the chapter, Ezekiel prophesied against the shepherds of Israel. He said, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. Here God accuses the religious leaders who did not want to do what God had sent them to do. God's under-shepherds are tasked with very serious work. It is literally life or death for the Christian soul. There are eternal consequences. Evidently, there were clergy who were too inwardly focused or were preaching for prestige or money or honor in Ezekiel's day. This also went on in the years leading up to the Reformation. And sadly, there's still plenty of it going on even in our day. Most TV evangelists and megachurch pastors are not shepherding God's people through faithful preaching or properly administering the sacraments. There are many false teachers out there who claim to come in the name of the Lord. They can sound religious. They can be really friendly. They may seem to be shepherding better than the true under-shepherds that were truly sent by Christ. And they may have very large and successful-looking churches. But we must be on guard. We, as God's people, who are shepherded by the Good Shepherd, must use discernment. God's people are to listen to who? The world around them? To the one who seems to have the most clout? The one who has the smoothest speech? No, we listen to the voice of our Good Shepherd. We listen to our Good Shepherd so that way we can learn to distinguish the truth of God from the errors and lies of the devil found so prominently in the world. And it is given to you, my dear friends, as God's sheep, to judge your shepherd, the minister whom Christ has sent. Yes, that is truly your task, given to you by God, to ensure that your shepherd, your pastor, is faithfully proclaiming to you the word of God. After all, Jesus said, "My sheep know me, they listen to my voice." So as you grow in the doctrine of Christ by studying the scriptures, your ability to discern truth from error increases. You need the pure word of God proclaimed to you so that you will faithfully fulfill your duty and insist that the word is preached among you and to you faithfully by your pastor. But as experience probably has taught many of you, many sadly do not want their pastors to be interested in the pure word. In addition to ministers being tempted to depart from the word of God, so also God's people are often tempted to receive something that has departed from God's truth. The Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write in 2 Timothy 4, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." If this describes you, repent. It is foolish to depart from the word of God. And plus, there's nothing better to hear than the truth of God, that is the pure word of Christ, because it is through Christ alone who sets you free from your sin. And that is how Jesus shepherds you. And if you depart from him and his word, how do you think salvation is actually going to be brought to you? How is it going to come about? Excuse my voice. I have found that if I look down, and like when I read the scripture readings, then it's harder for me to talk. I had a sore throat for a couple of days a week ago, and then my runny nose and all that, cold symptoms. The only thing that's left now is my voice needs to finish recovering. Anyway, others don't want their pastors to shepherd them because they want to take the route of the tough, which is really the route of the weak. What do these so-called tough people want? They think that they're strong enough that they need no pastoring. They don't want the prayers of their pastor. They don't want their pastor to come and visit. Excuse me. They claim that they are fine, and they want to prove that they are well off. But that's also why God... That's also why God sends flesh and blood to... He sends human pastors who are human and can't always speak well. He sends human pastors to pastor God's people. He knows how weak sheep really are and how badly they need help. So when you are down, when you are struggling with temptation or sin, when you are facing hard times in your lives, when you are sick or injured, what's it for you to do? Contact your pastor. Let him know. Don't assume it's going to get to him through other channels. At the very least, then, the pastor can pray for you. And if you desire, you can then have the whole church pray for you. Your pastor is there to visit you with Christ's gifts. And please, do not assume that your pastor is too busy or has other things that are better for him to do than to spend time with you. That is why he is here. That is why God sends you a pastor. And I guess I'll have to also add, don't wait till the pastor's day off is past. I've had countless times where I'm in the city on my day off, and I'm contacted the day after, oh, so-and-so is in the hospital. Can you go see them? How long has they been there? A couple days ago. I could have gone. I would have been glad to have gone, even on my day off. So just contact the pastor. He's happy to pray for you at any time. When you bring your cares and concerns to your good shepherd, God hears you. When you pray repeatedly, you do not bother him. When you ask God for help, you are not burdening Jesus at all. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And in the same way, when you make use of Christ's under-shepherds, that is, pastors, you are of no bother to them. Again, that is why Jesus sends them, to be here for you, to shepherd you, to pray for you, to help you, and to fulfill the work of the ministry. Pastors are to proclaim the gospel purely and administer the sacraments in accordance with Christ's institution. They are to deal with sinners in the same way as Christ himself would. They are to lead them to repentance and grant repentant sinners the absolution. They are to feed Christ's lambs the life-giving word of God. They are to baptize sinners into God's very family. They are to welcome sinners to the altar who have the same confession of faith and have pled guilty of their sin so that they can receive the very body and the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all of their sins. In all of this, Christ the Good Shepherd is at work. He laid down his life to pay for the sins of the entire world. He is risen to shepherd his flock, the church. The resurrection is sure and certain. Christ our Lord lives, and he lives to shepherd you in love, and he leads you as the Good Shepherd, using the word and the sacraments, to the green pastures and the still waters of paradise. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.